Many have sensed that. Many have sensed that. And God is showing his people. He said that no man knows the time nor the day, not even the Son of Man nor the angels, but only God the Father himself. But he said that it shouldn't be any surprise when he comes. Because when you see the fig tree bud and blossom, you know that summer is near. And for God's people it will not be a surprise when he comes. He is coming. He's coming soon. He'd come anytime. I want you to turn, please, in your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4. Praise our Heavenly Father. Glory to God. Do you continue to be aware of the presence of the Spirit of God in the auditorium? Huh? He's here to do whatever you need doing tonight. He's here to do whatever you need doing tonight. Now, not only is he here to minister to the person who's next to you, but he's here to minister to you personally. God loves you. God so loved the world, you and me, individually, personally. The Bible says that he knows the number of hairs that are on your head, and that not a single sparrow falls to the ground but what he doesn't know about it. If you're here tonight in the service, God knows you better than you know yourself. And he knows your need. He knows exactly what your need is. So you be open to the Spirit of the Lord and let him minister to you tonight. My instructions from God are really very simple. They are, as far as my responsibility to the church, he says that I am to break the bread with you often and for extended periods of time. And that's why every time we get together, we break the bread. No matter what time of the day or the night it is, we break the bread. And some of you may wonder why we break it for such a long period of time. We do it on his instruction. He said for extended periods of time. When Jesus was in the wilderness and the devil came to him and tempted him, and he says, if you really be the Son of God, turn those stones over there into bread. And it's true that the Lord was hungry. He was hungry. But he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but he shall live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now that's God's intention and his purpose for you and for me. Now most men on this planet do not live at all by the word of God. They're not concerned about the word of God. But if we truly want to be the men and women that God has intended for us to be, he says a man shall not live by physical bread alone, although we need that for our physical body, and God's provided it. He knew when the children of Israel were walking in the wilderness that they had to have physical food. He didn't send them out there to starve to death. So he provided bread from heaven. He provided the manna from heaven to come down to nourish their physical body. He knows that we need that. But he said, man shall not live by that kind of bread alone, but man shall truly live by the words that proceed out of the mouth of God. There is no life apart from this word. There's no life. Now you can exist, you see, on colonial or sunbeam bread. But you cannot live unless you have this bread. The Word of God says that we are dead in our trespasses and sin. We're without God and without hope in the world until we've been born again. That's not life, brother and sister. That's death. And there are those, I pray that there aren't any here in the auditorium tonight. If there are, you can go out with life. Well, you may have come in with death, but you go out with life. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you don't have the life of God in you. The Word of God says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. What does that say then about any person that does not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? They do not have life. Now they may look alive, they may breathe, they may do the things that other living beings do, but they do not have life in them. They have death. They have the death that Adam died the day he sinned. If you're going to have life, there's only one place to have it, and that's out of the Word of God. It's by the Word of the Lord that we have our life. Then he says that if we're really going to live, if we're really going to live, that we must live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now there are those in the body of Christ today that want to live by this much of it. I'll take this much and I'm going to live by that. See? Or I'm going to take this much and I'm going to live by that. I'm going to live by salvation. I'm going to live by baptism. I'm going to live by communion. I'm going to live by church government. I'm going to live on this portion of the Word of God. God's Word says that man is not going to live, truly live, except by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Paul said that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it's profitable, you see, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished and equipped to every good work. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And if you really want to live life to its fullest, we must live it in accordance with all of the Word of God, not just a portion of it. Yes, the most important thing that ever happens to any man or woman, boy or girl, is that he be born again, that he come to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, that he be saved, that he receive the gift of eternal life through the salvation or new birth experience by receiving Christ Jesus. That is the most important thing. But that's not all there is to God's life. That's like living on this much of the Word, you see. The Bible says that we're to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's why this whole book is important to us. That's why, if you'll notice the way the Word is ministered here, it's ministered from all over the Bible. I don't know how many of you have noticed that, but I marvel at it, how God leads. One day He'll have you preaching from Genesis, the next day it's Hosea, the next day it's Revelation, the next day it's Ephesians, the next day it's Isaiah, and it's just from cover to cover. This is all God's Word, and everything that's in it, you see, is profitable for us, for our doctrine and for our reproof and for our correction. And if we leave any of this word out, we are going to forfeit that portion of the life which God has given us. We'll forfeit it. We'll give it up. It's available to us, but we forfeit it by not feeding on that portion of that bread. Now, this is what Moses is getting at, I believe, a portion of it in this passage we'd want to read this morning, or this evening. Why do I keep saying this morning? Because I just got up. Chapter 4, book of Deuteronomy, first verse, the words of Moses to the people of Israel. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Now, from our prior study out of the Old Testament, we know that the promised land, the land of Canaan, the land of promise, is a type of the Christian life. Many people read the Old Testament and they believe that the land of Canaan is a type or a shadow of heaven. It's not a shadow of heaven. It's not a type of heaven. Why do we know that? We know that because there were giants in this land. There are no giants in heaven. There are no enemies in heaven, don't you know? But in this land, you see, in Canaan, there were great giants, there were great enemies, that they had to go into the land, and God told Joshua, I have given the land unto Abraham your father, and wheresoever you put down your feet, the soles of your feet, wherever it touches, that land I give unto you, it belongs to you. The land that you take, the land that you possess, the land that you take of your own, I give it to you. That's not heaven. That's not the way God gives heaven, but that is the way God gives His blessing in this life. The land of Canaan is a type and a shadow of the Christian life. The new birth is the result, you see, of the type and shadow of the crossing the Jordan River. When the children of Israel crossed the Jordan River, every place they put their foot down, God gave them that piece of ground. It's the same way with you and I today. In receiving the life that God has given us in Christ Jesus, through the new birth, we enter into the promised land. By being born again of the Holy Spirit of God, we enter into the promised land and we cross the Jordan River. Once we are across the Jordan River, we can either sit there and starve to death, which many believers do. Unfortunately, there are many in the body of Christ who have come across the Jordan River, who have sat down on the opposite banks. Yes, they are in the promised land. Yes, they are in the place where God has provided all these wonderful blessings and provided a rich inheritance, but they're still sitting on the riverbank. In the meantime, the rest of them have marched up and around Jericho, and the walls of Jericho are falling down for them. They're going out and picking grapes, and it takes two men to carry one bunch on a stick. They're owning vineyards and houses and fields that they never planted and that they never did anything, you see, in order to earn. But God had given them to them. Why? Because they believed the word of God. And they went out and possessed the land. Moses said, "Hearken unto the statutes and the judgments which I teach you, and do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land." If you're going to have the life that God has provided, it will only come through this word. It will not come apart from the word. It will only come insofar as you will know the word and do it. The fullness of God's life will come in that way. He said, don't add to it and don't diminish from it, that ye may keep it. Verse number 3. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal-peor. You know who Baal-peor was. He was the god of the Canaanites. For all the men that followed Baal-peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. I like verse 4, don't you? But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, this day. Now, there may be some of you who are here tonight that aren't sure whether you're going to make it till tomorrow morning. You may not be sure whether you're going to make it till next week. We talked this morning about the work of the enemy among the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's trying to do and how he's trying to destroy God's work in your life. But the word says that if we will cleave to the Lord, if we will cleave to the Lord, if we will hang on to the Lord, if we will take hold and keep hold, that the blessings of God will flow in our lives, that we will have victory, that we will not die, that we will be alive, and that the life that God has provided for us will come and be manifest in us, the same as it was in them. Verse 6, keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. There's something very interesting in this verse. All the world is seeking after wisdom. All the world wants to know the right thing to do. All the world is seeking and studying and looking for the acquisition of wisdom. Moses said that the keeping of the Word of God is wisdom. The keeping of the Word of God is wisdom. Now, those that are heathen, those that know not Jesus, those that do not acknowledge or confess Him as Lord and Savior, will not understand this. Those that are around you, those even that are in your own families and around you in your neighborhoods and your places of employment, will not understand when you do the Word of God. Because to do the commandments of the Lord is against the world way. It's in opposition to the world way. The world says that if somebody hurts you, find a way to get back at them. Jesus said, repay not evil for evil. The Word of God says to overcome evil with good. Jesus said that you have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that if a man smite thee on the one cheek, you smite him on the other. That if a man sue thee at law and take your coat, you give him your cloak also. And if a man would force you to go 1 mile with him, you go 2. Now, when you begin to share that with people that don't know Jesus, they will laugh you to scorn. They'll think you're nuts. Well, you are nuts in accordance with the word, with the world, you see. You really are nuts. But praise God, the life of Jesus Christ will flow in you. The fullness of what God has promised in the Word will flow unto you. God says that doing the Word of God, not just knowing it, but doing the Word is the wisest thing you can do. If the Word says, do this, and you do it, that is putting wisdom into action in your life. Doing the Word of God is wise for you. It's wisdom for you, regardless of what it may appear and what it may look like. Makes no difference what it may look like. Let me give you an example. I don't know if I've shared this with you before, but from a business point of view, I had a man at one time in my business who was doing my accounting for me. And he brought my tax return, the corporation's tax return. And he had the figures on there in such a way that it was false in order to save me some taxes. And I'm sure he thought he was doing me a favor. But it falsified the figures. When I started to go over them, I could see that they weren't right. And I said to him, I don't understand where you got these numbers. What are you doing here? And he said, well, I just put it in this other account. What he did was he took some expenses that were not deductible for those of you businessmen, and he put it in a deductible account. Now, it would have been very easy, see, to get away with that. Nobody would have ever caught that. Nobody ever would have thought. And it wasn't all that significant as far as the money that was involved. But I knew that I just couldn't do that. And so I asked him to go back and change those numbers. And he was so upset at me, he just walked out of my office. He just picked up his briefcase and left. I never saw him again. Now, he'd been my accountant for almost a year. Several days later, he sent me a bill for, I think, about $500. Well, you know what my first reaction was. Something like this. You turkey, do you think I just fell off a turnip truck? I'm not paying you $500 for trying to get me to cheat Uncle Sam. So I wrote him back, and I told him that he had not done the work properly, and I wasn't going to pay him, and besides, he still had a bunch of my records, and returned them. So he returned all these records to me with a letter that I owed him the money, and that he was going to see to it that I paid him, and so on. I thought, no way. He's not going to rip me off for $500. And so I sat down to write the man a letter to tell him what I thought of what he was doing. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and he said, send him the money. And I said, but I don't understand, Lord. He didn't earn the money. It's wrong for me to do that. Now, it's your money. You can do with it what you want. If you really want me to, I will, but I don't like it. He said, send him the money. And I said, can you give me some indication of why? And he said, send the money. No, that's the way the Lord is. He doesn't give you all the reasons. He just tells you what to do. He wants to know, do you love me? If you love me, obey my commandments. He had given me a command. I had told him it was his business. It was his money. He could do with it what he wanted. Now he's telling me what to do, and I'm sticking my heels in the dirt. So I sat down. I said, okay, Lord, I'll send him the money. And I sat down, and I really had it worked out beautifully now. Because I was going to write this man a letter, and I was going to tell him, now look, fella, here's your money. You didn't earn it. It doesn't belong to you. And the only reason I'm giving it to you is because God said I should give it to you. And to show you how the devil can work in your mind, you know, and cause you to be twisted, I thought that would give God, see, some glory. That he would appreciate it, that God wanted him to have the money. And that was my purpose. So I sat down to write this letter. I couldn't write it. I couldn't write it. It wouldn't come. It just wouldn't come. And I said, Lord, I need some help. Help me with this. And he said, don't write the letter. Just send the money. Now, that was one of the hardest things I've ever done. I sat down and I wrote the check. I put it in a plain white piece of paper, put it in an envelope, prayed for the man, and sent him the money. Now, let me tell you what the Lord showed me. After the letter went in the mail, I said, Lord, now can you tell me what you're doing? He said, turn to the book of Matthew and look in the 5th chapter. They didn't say it exactly like that. what he said was over in the Sermon on the Mount, there's the story about thus and so, and I recognized the place, and so I went and turned to it and looked it up. And I started to read. The Spirit of God just witnessed to me what he had done. Verse number 25. Agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Now what the Spirit of the Lord had shown me was that this individual hated me so much. He was so, because I'd made him look bad. You see, I didn't mean to do it, but he had wanted me to cheat and I couldn't do it. And when I said it to him, the conviction was so strong on him that of what he had done, you see, that anger that swelled up in him was directed to me because I'd made him look and feel bad. And the Lord just showed me that if I hadn't sent him the money, it would have been so easy for him to anonymously dial the Internal Revenue Service and to say, you ought to look into Rock Hill Incorporated down there in Fulton Industrial Boulevard and check them out real carefully down there, they thus and so. Now, I didn't have anything to hide. There was no reason, you see, for me to fear Internal Revenue, but what do I want with Internal Revenue agents all over my business for the next 6 months? Do you see what God spared me from? Because I was willing to do His Word. Do His Word. Do His Word. And I didn't even know why. But He said, send Him the money. And I sent Him the money. And I know that God spared me from that, you see. I praise Him that He showed me that later on. It is wise. Wisdom is contained in the doing of God's Word. What God tells you to do, do it. Doing the Word, he says, agree with your adversary while thou art in the way. That's doing the Word of God. Even if you're right. Even if you're right. It's better to be free, you see, than to be right. It's better to be free than to go through the kinds of things that people might have to go through, you see, if they go against the Word. Now, the world won't understand that. This is why it is important for you as a Christian. If you're a young person, this is why it's important that you marry another Christian. Bless God, don't be tied to a person that doesn't understand the Word of God. Don't do that. You'd be an awful kind of a fix. If you're choosing a mate for life, choose a Christian. Don't choose her on the basis of what her dimensions are or how her face looks. Don't choose him on the basis of his income and his job and his prospects. Choose him on the basis of the Word of God. Choose him on the basis of what's in his heart. Choose him on the basis of what the Spirit of God tells you. I've seen some of the most beautiful women get awfully fat when they get 30. You know, very lovely at 20, very fat at 30. I've seen some men that are very successful at 20, and at 30 they're in a drunk tank. Only God knows what a man is going to turn out to be. Only God knows what a woman is going to turn out to be. Bless the Lord, obey Him in the choice of your mates, all right? If you're making business associations and establishing business relationships, I don't know if I would have been able to send that $500 if I'd have had a business partner that I had to get that work through, because half that money would have been his, wouldn't it? And I'd have to go through that if he didn't understand the Word of God. I'd have to go through that. Well, now, George, this is what it's... What are you talking about? The guy lied. He cheated. You're not sending him $500 of our money. You understand how that goes and what you'd have to do in that kind of a relationship. That's why the Bible says that we are to establish our relationships on this earth in obedience to His Word, you see, and choose other believers as those that we're going to have relationships with, any kind of a contractual relationship in. Moses said that doing, knowing, and doing the Word of God is wise. It's wise to do that. Now let's read the balance of that sixth verse. This really gets to be beautiful, these next few verses here. Verse number 6. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon Him for. What nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Oreb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. Now turn to the Gospel of Luke, please, the 4th chapter also. Let's see something here out of the life of Jesus having to do with the Word. I believe this story out of the 4th chapter of Luke will indicate as none other the power of God's Word, the truth of God's Word, the liberty there is that is in it, and the wisdom that is in the Word of God, and the importance that you and I as Christians know God's Word, that we know the principles that are there. Now, it is more important, let me say just this word. You know, there are many Christians down through the years that have had all kinds of memory programs and things that would help them memorize the Word. And that's good. It's fine to memorize the Word. But it is much better to understand the principles that are in God's Word than to be able to rattle off verse after verse after verse of the letter of it. It's much more important for you to understand the spirit of God's Word than it is for you to know the letter of it. For didn't the Word say, the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life? And I know many who can recite God's Word just verse after verse after verse, just tumble off their lips, but they don't know Jesus personally. They're not saved. They're not born again. They don't know the power of God in their own life. And that Scripture, you see, hasn't done them any good because they've got it all up here. It's much more important for you, and I would encourage you that rather than developing a memory program, develop a reading and meditating program in the Word of God. Spend your time just quietly in a quiet place reading God's Word, and let the Spirit of God minister it to your spirit so that you will understand the principles that are in God's Word. Whether you can quote it or not. Get the principles down. Once you get the principles down, you'll be able to at least paraphrase the Word. The devil understands the paraphrase. I mean, he understands what you're talking about if you don't quote him the King James exactly word for word. See? He knows what you're saying, and so does God. He knows what the Word is. Luke chapter 4 is the story of the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. The devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Now, if Jesus had not known the Word, if he had not known what God's Word said, it would have been very easy for him to say it like this. To think like this. And I'm sure these thoughts crossed his mind because the devil is the same then as he is today. Well, you know, that's true. I am the Son of God. 40 days ago I was baptized. I was down by Jordan, had all those people around. John the Baptist put me in the water and I came out. Didn't that dove come down and land on my shoulder? Didn't the heaven open up, and didn't God Almighty say, everybody heard him, didn't he say, thou art my beloved Son in whom I am well? I am the Son of God. Bless the Lord, I am. I think I just will. Stone, become bread. But he knew the Word of God. He knew God's Word, see? He knew the Word. And since he knew the Word, he recognized that the devil was trying him. He recognized that it was the devil who was tempting him. He recognized that it was the devil that was bringing this rationalization, because in his spirit he knew. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. End of temptation number one. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will I give it. If thou wilt therefore worship me, all shall be thine. And I'm sure that Satan must have put these kinds of thoughts in the mind of the Lord Jesus. Well, I am the Son of God. All this should belong to me. I should have all this authority and all this power. Maybe this is the way God is giving it to me. Maybe this is God working in my life. Maybe this really is my Heavenly Father. And this is the way, you see, that He's establishing me and my lordship. Do you see how that could be developed in your mind? But no, He knew the Word. He knew the Word. He knew the Word. He knew God's Word. Therefore, He was not able, you see. The devil was not able to put that over on him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. End of temptation 2. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, listen to this one, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Don't you know that the thoughts that went through the Lord's head must have gone something like this? Well, you know that's true. That's the Scripture. That's God's Word, that I can't be harmed, that His angels have been given charge over me. I think I just will cast myself down from this temple. I think I just will go on and do that. But he knew the Word. He knew the Bible. He knew what God had said. He knew the principle. And he said, Jesus answering, he said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. When the devil had ended all temptation, he departed from him for a season. The Word of God is our wisdom, and doing it is our wisdom. Moses said that we shall do all that God has commanded in His Word, not add to it and not take away from it. I praise God that He has given us this Word. I praise God that it's easy to understand. Is there anything difficult about this Word to understand? It's not hard to understand. It's as straightforward and as simple as anybody could make it. And the Holy Spirit reveals to us the principles of kingdom living, the principles of living the fullness of life that God has given unto us. Praise the Lord. Let's just pray for a moment. Father, we thank you for that which you've shown us tonight out of your Word. Thank you, Lord, that you have preserved the Word for us and made it to come alive for each and every one of us. Now, Father, we invite you by your Spirit to have your way. To do or to say that which is on your heart. To speak, to reveal, to bless, to touch. What is it, Father, that would bless you tonight? What is it, Father, that would please you tonight?